guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way to success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Success in the Holy Quran And as you know by now in these episodes of ours we are teaching you Quranic formulas principles which guide us and help us to attain success in our endeavors, in our aims, in our intentions, and our objectives. So it's important to note that the Quran contains principles, usul, regarding every matter of life, how to succeed in our family life, social life, religiously, in terms of worldly sense. The Quran is the best book, is the only book that guides in every single aspect. And it's the final revelation of Allah, and it's hudal linnas, it's a guidance for all mankind. Now, the usul, the principle that we're going to speak about today, it's mentioned in Surah Baqarah, verse 190. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ Indeed, Allah does not like those who transgress the boundaries. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ These are the boundaries of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ And whoever exceeds those boundaries, transgresses those boundaries of Allah, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ In Surah Maidah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ O believers, do not prohibit the pure things that Allah has made permissible for you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ And do not transgress the boundaries. Indeed, Allah does not like those who exceed the boundaries. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this pristine Sharia, Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, and He's mentioned what's halal in that. In the Qur'an, He's mentioned the things that are prohibited. And we must follow them. And we don't pick and choose. We don't declare something permissible as impermissible and vice versa. And regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala said, يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ Surah Araf 157, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained the impure things or the vile things, they're prohibited. He makes those things which are khaba'ith prohibited for them. So he's the legislator. Allah ta'ala has given him this high maqam. So think of it like this. The Quran has told us about everything in life and has set out boundaries. If you stay within that boundary and you follow the commands of Allah within the boundaries, then you're fine. But the moment you transgress those boundaries, exceed those boundaries, go beyond those boundaries that Allah has set himself, then you will face the repercussions of that. You'll be sinful. You'll be worthy of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا And those who, when they spend, they do not overspend. They're not extravagant in their spending. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا And they do not refrain from spending where they need to spend, of course. They don't show miserliness in this regard. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا They are in between that. They spend moderately. So Allah is praising those people who are moderate in their actions. So the boundaries are set. Do not fall short. Do not go beyond. So it's important to be moderate in our matters. And if we focus upon our own lives, do we follow this Quranic principle? Or is it the case that we are inconsistent in this regard? So, for example, you have a boundary for the faraid and the wajibat. Are we fulfilling the faraid and wajibat? Or are we refraining from that? Are we missing out on that? Are we falling short? Or are we exceeding the boundaries? Are we going beyond? Similarly, there's a boundary for mustahab, mubah actions, nawafil, voluntary actions. Those boundaries Allah has set, are we abiding by them? Are we fulfilling them? Are we falling short? Are we going beyond? So these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And it's not only in regards to prayer, it's regarding every aspect of life, regarding giving alms, zakat, performing hajj, fasting, your mu'amalat, your dealings with your family members, your dealings with other people outside the home, your dealings with your business partners, your dealing with your fellow Muslims, your mu'amalat. So you have to maintain i'tidal in all of these things, and you are not to cross the boundaries at all. So these are simple things, but unfortunately we go throughout our life not understanding them or not implementing them. Because think about it, if you have to offer prayer and it's a 4 rak'at prayer, you're not going to offer 5. You've gone beyond the boundary. Similarly, with Hajj, it's performed in a specific month. You can't go throughout the year whenever you like and perform it. With Zakat, boundaries have been set. How much Zakat you have to give, what you have to give Zakat upon, this tafseel. Have you learned that tafseel? Are you following that? Are you implementing that? Or are you just giving whatever you want and thinking, oh, it's fulfilled? So these boundaries are very, very important. Similarly, fasting in the month of Ramadan. Is someone fasting but at the same time nullifying his fast because he doesn't know that water going down the throat whilst performing wudu and gargling, and you know you're fasting, breaks the fast? But is he taking that lightly? Does he have the requisite knowledge? Does he have sufficient knowledge in this regard? So these are things that we all need to contemplate upon. And those boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relation to everything, the creation, the different creatures amongst us, animals, even the environment, are we fulfilling those rights of the things surrounding us and all around us? And let's give a few examples now how people exceed the boundaries, go beyond the boundaries. The first example I'll give is in relation to recitation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. The Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. And the Arabic language, each letter, each harf of the Arabic language has a makhraj. The plural is makharij, meaning an origin where we articulate and pronounce that letter from. Now, somebody who is learning Arabic because he's not an Arab, obviously he'll have to put more effort in to be able to differentiate the letters that are similar sounding, and he's able to pronounce each letter from exactly where it should be pronounced from. Now, if he's reciting anyhow and any way, and he's distorting the meaning of the Quran, he's changing the meaning of the Quran, then he's exceeded the boundary, because Allah Ta'ala wants a Muslim to recite the Quran just as it was revealed by Allah. And if that way is not adopted, and a person is carefree and he chooses any other way whereby he's destroying the meaning, distorting the meaning, his namaz will become fasid, invalidated. Let alone awam, laymen, even people who are huffaz do not uphold the boundaries of recitation of Quran when they perform tarawih. This has been seen time and time again, year upon year. It's witnessed. There's a competition almost that I must finish my Quran today within an hour, max. Meaning that's including Isha Jamaat, Taraweeh, Witr. People do that. And then they go and they boast, oh, we're able to finish Taraweeh by a certain time. The other person is amazed. You finish it half an hour before us. Allahu Akbar, our Imam Sahib recites slowly, that means. But no, that's not necessarily the case. It may be the case that the Imam Sahib who is reciting it and finishing half an hour later is reciting it properly. And he's cautious, he's God-fearing, and he adopts a pace whereby he's able to recite every letter properly. Whereas this person is reciting Al-Quran Al-Kareem, but he's careless. He doesn't care how he's reciting it. In fact, it's famous that when certain huffaz recite, the only words you hear is Ya'alamun ta'alamun. And they won't even say like that, Ya'alamun ta'alamun, with the ayn pronounced. They will say Ya'alamun ta'alamun. And that's the only words you'll hear. Other than that, you can't hear anything. You're reciting so fast like a bullet speed train. Allahu Akbar. This is not something that befits a Muslim. It's not the shan of a Muslim. A Muslim respects the word of the Quran, respects the divine scriptures revealed by Allah. And he honors the Quran when reciting in Taraweeh. So this is something that we all need to be mindful of. And if we're guilty of not reciting the Quran properly and exceeding the boundaries in this regard, then we must rectify that straight away, inshallah. Another thing, another example that can be given about exceeding the boundaries. Allah Ta'ala has created insan, and within insan there is a need. And what is that need? He likes company, he desires company. And this is something that is given to insan right from the beginning of his life or her life. When a child is born, the child is surrounded by loved ones, mainly the parents, but then you have other relatives, grandparents, aunties, uncles, maybe siblings as well. And we're used to that. So growing up and then throughout our lives, we want to be in people's company. Now, Islam has taught us that there is good company, there is bad company. And the overview of a hadith is, good company benefits in all aspects. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave an example. He said, if a person goes into a fragrance shop and he doesn't buy anything, he just window shops, he just looks around, but because of that strong fragrance, the smell of fragrance emanating in that shop, that's all there is there, ether, then he'll leave that shop fragrant himself. That's the example given of good company. That when you're amongst good company, that the effects of that rub off on you, positive effects. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned how a person were to enter a place where the blacksmith works. And because of the environment there, he will leave with his clothes charred, with stains on his clothes, because the environment is such. So if a person sits amongst evil people, and this example that the Prophet ﷺ gave was example of bad company, that you're there, regardless of how long you're there, you're going to suffer from the consequences of that bad company, bad environment. So when a person chooses to adopt the company of evil people, wicked people, he sits there with them, they will corrupt his heart. They will try and make him adopt their mindset, their way of thinking, and that will happen sooner or later. So here again, the boundaries are set. We are to only adopt good company. And if you adopt bad company, you're exceeding the boundaries, you're transgressing the boundaries. You're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about good company and refraining from bad company? Allah ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. That when insan realizes that he is not sitting with good people, then he should refrain. He should leave that gathering straight away. فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Leave that oppressive company. Leave that those people who are oppressive. Zalimeen, Allah has described him as. So how many of us do this? Or is it the case that once we're in, we can't get out? We can get out, but it requires himmat. It requires understanding of the deen. It requires knowledge and being able to differentiate between good and bad company. So these are things that we should pray for. And like this, so many examples can be given. Insan, a humankind, become angry at times. A human being becomes angry. Now, will he swallow his anger? Will he control his anger? Or will he exercise his anger? Will he vent his anger? Will he lash out on people? Will he exceed the boundaries? So becoming angry in and of itself isn't a sin. That's how Allah has made us. We can become angry. Our blood boils. But then controlling yourself is a real test. That you remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. That if I speak inappropriately, if I do something which is wrong, if I exceed the boundary, I'll be punished for it. Allah ta'ala will be displeased with me. Controlling your anger. But people don't, unfortunately. And this is everywhere, in the homes, schools, colleges, universities, workplaces, wherever people are. Allah forbid, even in masajid today, so many video clips become viral where people in the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are showing no regard for Baytullah, for the masjid. And they're raising their voices, they're shouting, they're willing to fight with one another, offering the other person to come and square up to them and fight with them. What is this? So this is exceeding the boundaries. And this is something that we need to change, and we need to change it instantly and immediately if we are hopeful of a better future, a blessed future, and to attain the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example which is very pertinent to this day and age is consuming halal. Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran about eating that which is pure. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. And there's other verses to this effect. Now, what's happening today is, because the ummah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, have been blessed with a lot of wealth, and this was something predicted, that wealth has become a test now. A person cannot, speaking generally, a person cannot keep quiet over the fact that he's wealthy. He flaunts his wealth. He shows off. He falls into ostentation. Unless he's shown someone that he has wealth in the form of a car, a grand house, he's not happy. He wants people to know. Whereas the people of the past, they weren't like that. So the test now is, if another person sees someone flaunting his wealth, seeing him show off, does it affect his heart or not? We don't even know if that person who has the wealth has it from lawful means or not. So what is there to envy? We don't even know. Even if it was from lawful means, then we should think that's a great test for that person. Will he disobey Allah? Will he obey Allah? And we most certainly shouldn't be praying to be in the same situation, especially if we're weak in faith. And we know ourselves that if we were given that much money, it would reach our heads. And it does reach people's head. Money intoxicates. People do all sorts of zulm and oppression because of wealth, because of money. But anyhow, when a person sees in his surroundings, in his community, in his neighborhood, that people are outwardly, they are going up. They are becoming richer, becoming more posher. Their lifestyles are changing. Then he wants that for himself and his family as well. Now the question is, does he have enough taqwa in his heart to only use halal means? Because that's the boundary. Enjoy yourself, but halal only. Or does he succumb to his nafs and shaitan and ends up not differentiating between halal and haram? He looks at it and he says, it doesn't matter where it comes from. As long as I've got it, as long as I'm supporting a certain lifestyle for me, my kids, my wife, my family, that's fine. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Then a person exceeds the boundaries because he will have no consideration whatsoever for halal and haram. That tamyiz, that ability to distinguish and differentiate finishes. He just says, Al mim mazid, hal mim mazid. What does the Quran tell us? Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. That hoarding wealth kept you heedless until you visited the graves. This is what happens. All of one's life, a person is busy attaining and acquiring wealth in the form of money, in the form of properties, in the form of assets. And then he drops dead. He dies. Nothing goes with him. And if it was from halal means, then still there's accountability. But if it was haram, then there's azab. It's punishment. So, this is another thing. What are we feeding our children? Today people complain, people say, oh, my child doesn't listen. My child answers back. My child swears at me, God forbid. My child isn't listening to what I say. He's turned out the opposite of what I wanted him to be. Do ghor on what you are feeding him. What was his tarbiyah like? What was his upbringing like? Did you only earn from halal sources? Did you transgress and exceed the boundary set by Allah and used haram income, haram risk to support your family? Then obviously haram will only bring other negative effects, other consequences, and things will get out of control. Things will become overwhelming, and a person will think to himself, I was okay living that simple life, that small house, that normal car, alhamdulillah, whatever was cooked at home we would eat. Why did I wish for this life where, you know, the maintenance of this life, where there's a sports car, there's a massive house, my child is demanding things from me every other day, every new thing that comes on the market. Why did I wish for this? What have I gotten myself into? But then it's too late, because he supported that lifestyle using unlawful means. Allah Ta'ala is punishing him in the dunya, and obviously there is the akhirah yet to come as well. So, to conclude, in this episode we spoke about the verse of the Quran that وَمَن يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And the other verse of the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not like those who transgress and exceed the boundaries set by Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Stay within the confines of those boundaries. Stay within the obedience of Allah, following the commands of Allah. There will be raha, comfort, there will be ease, there will be bliss, there will be tranquility, there will be peace, there will be serenity in all of that. Otherwise, if you go beyond those boundaries, there is shar, evil, there is depression, there is stress, there is undue worry, and much, much more. And those things will not help us here or in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a life full of obedience to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and a life wherein we follow the commands of Allah, we follow the boundaries set by Allah, and we do not ever exceed them and transgress them. Ameen. Bilahi Nabi Al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. Guided by the Quran's light, we find our way. To success in this life and a brighter day. To success in this life and a brighter day.